are joining We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Ooh, Bob's got all the volume over there. Nice.
He's got more volume going on over there.
Yeah.
He's got buttons on buttons.
All the music will come from Bob, just in case you haven't listened to the show
bass
before.
Control.
Bass control.
Yeah. Is that bass control
to Major Tom?
Yeah. Stop it.
I knew that too.
That's ground control.
And now, hey, look, it works. And besides that, look, the government shutdown's being blamed on President Trump because he's not enough like George Washington. So, frankly, I think anything goes at this point.
Yeah, tomorrow chaos will ensue.
Exactly.
That's what I heard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you have a little celebration of capitalism to
do. Yes, we do. This hour is sponsored by Team Power, your local John Deere and Kubota dealer. And right now is a great time to give them a call and get your mowers and tractors in there for a service. They're running some service specials. You can get yourself a discount on labor. And get in there before they get boxed up and weeks behind. We have coming in late February, March, they'll be so backed up in there, you'll be a couple of weeks getting your stuff worked on. But if you get it in there now, they can get right on it.
Hey, and as of yesterday, you can call them and leave a message.
And leave a message. We have a new voicemail system in there, and you can call and leave a message. We'll get back to you and make an appointment to get your stuff fixed up. So that's Team Power, 3119 Twinview Boulevard, and you can call them at 226-9226.
Ta-da!
There you go.
All righty. And you can find us online. And that's actually kind of important, unless you're not an online person, in which case it's not that important. But if you would like to listen to some past shows, we've got tons of them. All the commercials have been taken out. We have De-Celebrated Capitalism in the archives. Robert Exter does that for us. Thanks, Robert. And you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us.
There you are.
And what's happening in our telephone? Do we have our hostage in there?
Bruce is standing by, yes.
Bruce!
I'm looking for myself, but I'm here. Here I am.
So we have one of those rare opportunities where it's just you today, so we don't have any audio problems, we don't have any of that. We just have you telling us interesting stuff that we're not going to hear in the news.
Well, there are several areas that are really hot, but I like to focus on issues and concerns that are not well addressed in the media because they're all, you know, short, quick points, you know, talking points that do not really identify the larger issue that the president or the cabinet is dealing with. And
you mean not everything can be dealt with in 2 minutes, or and if you can't,
well, they really do cut off the more salient points, and a lot of the issues and concerns are politicized. So, I hope you receive from me the talking points, you know, the topics I want to cover today.
Uh-huh.
Did you take a look at your?
I did, but I didn't see him. Okay, I'll do a search right now, and then I'll post him. So you'll have
okay,
to.
Okay, one of the things is economic freedom.
Oh, yes.
That's the biggest issue that we ever deal with.
Oh, here it is.
Okay, and that's put out by the Economic Freedom Index. It's put out by the Heritage Foundation and Wall Street Journal. But there's much more to it than that, because that's what the U.S. State Department kind of looks at what to do to have its policy and programs for funding. That's what we do as a country to provide our individual sovereignty. And what does that mean? Our individual liberties, our individual freedoms, and our individual rights. So if you look at what I, you know, am presenting here, we're looking at how do countries govern? What are the important parts of the governance that sustain individual sovereignty? And you got to, you know, hand it to the Heritage Foundation, because economic freedom is how they've been running their show from, you know, day one, with Ed Follner, Ed Meese, Bill Mittendorf, the founders and the leaders of the Heritage Foundation. So what I'm trying to convey here is the American people are left aside from understanding what the heavy stuff that people are, you know, taking to task in the executive branch. And let's go over, you know, how do you look at economic freedom as relates to society? Let's call it a civil opportunity society. Francis Brigham Johnson and I put together this, and we presented it to the Coalition Provisional Authority back in 2005 as a guideline to help Iraq get off the ground. But it's also just not for Iraq. It's basically how to deal with failed states, third world nations, and developing countries. So what we're looking at is how do Americans see what we do abroad as a viable means to conduct foreign policy. And economics is part of it. Military is part of it. Diplomacy is part of it. Intelligence is part of it. But this is the broader-based knowledge that people need to understand that has to be in place if we're going to get involved in countries and help ourselves bring immigration people, you know, refugees and different parts of other people who have special considerations to come into our country on board. Do they respect the civil opportunity society? Do they respect economic freedom? And that's, are they assimilating into the country, and do they understand what they're assimilating into? Now, does that make sense?
Yeah, and without you know, without turning it into a political football, how do you think that's, I think it, in my estimation, it worked well years ago, and it's working less well now, as far as people assimilating. I think the, I think that was the expectation years ago. You came here to be an American, so go ahead and be, you know, Italian or Jewish or, you know, whatever you were, but you're still an American. And now, it's almost like we, you know, that America needs to bow to their culture, and we need to somehow have concurrent cultures with all these people, or we're mean-spirited, hateful, blah, blah, blah.
That's the trend. It changed, and it became a, I don't want to call it politically correct, but a socially accepted, it is politically correct now, but it's a socially accepted way to think about how our culture has evolved. And to think of our culture evolving is not the correct stance. Our culture is fundamentally strong in its traditional values and traditional customs. So what we're looking at is we have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights, we have a Declaration of Independence, and that's how we found it. People fought and died for that. That's what President Trump's been talking about the whole time on this, you know, everywhere he goes. You know, that's what he's arguing for protecting the borders and, you know, doing the right for, you know, the immigration laws. But the politicization of this is just beyond the scope of what we would ever have dreamed of, you know, 20 years ago. It's gotten so bad. And why has it gotten so bad? I mean, what has changed in the tenure of the last 20, 30 years that we have to be more concerned about our national security than not? What would you think would be the...
I mean, there's a lot
of... Top five...
Well, I mean, we have a terrorism threat that we didn't really deal with years ago because... I don't know. I'm sure there were many factors, but...
Well, the
no,
border.
We didn't have it.
Chief among them, though, was we just didn't have worldwide communication. You know,
right.
there was no big advantage to coming here and doing some kind of terrorist attack to be a hero back home because no one was ever going to hear about it.
Yes.
So, you know, in a weird way, the global dialogue, I guess, has encouraged some of that. And then, you know, we seem to be unwilling... We got rid of profiling and things that actually work for places like Israel. That's been very successful there, and they keep, you know, explaining to us, you know, if somebody looks like they might cause a problem, you should take them at their, you know, take them at their word, as they say.
That's what Chuck and I always talk about, as you know. It's not, you know, people call it profiling, but you have to get a background
that
on people.
But we do that all day long.
I mean, we do biometrics. We need to do biometrics, you know, at the border. Everybody have an ID card. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's nothing impractical.
No, and people who are never going to work in national security do this all day, every day.
Well, you look at law enforcement. I mean, they look at somebody, and just from their body language, the way they're dressed, the way they speak, all these things give them some signals to look out for.
Look at as a parent, okay? So let's just say you're never ever going to have to make a call like that. You're not in law enforcement, you're not in national security, you're never going to work at the airport. But you know what? If you have kids or you're carrying valuables, you know, which could be your kids, you pay attention. You look around and you make decisions which side of the street you walk on, who you talk to, who you don't talk to. We make value judgments like that all the time.
Yeah, 24/7, just to be mentally prepared if something goes wrong.
And to
That's
avoid.
That's what we're taught in kids. That's
sure.
why my uncles taught me. He said, watch out. Look where you're going.
Well, it's
Look
funny.
Out for strangers.
Well, remember in the olden days, since, you know, we are all universally old here. I had a phone number as a kid that started with Hudson, so, you know, yeah, I'm like old. The thing is, you were told, I remember my parents saying that, you know, be discriminating. And it's funny because that used to be a good word. That used to mean make good choices.
Sift right from wrong.
Yeah, sift the good choices from the bad choices. And it's funny because we were driving here this morning, I mean, on a highway that had 7 cars, probably, maybe 10. And there was this guy, okay, back bumpers are dented in, side windows are way too dark, illegally dark, front windshield is like bashed in, looked like it was bashed in with a rock, and they're over the line, and it, okay, so we decided let's not drive by those people.
Yeah, you profiled him.
I did. I profiled him.
Yeah.
Actually, I called him a pothead.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I was like, pothead,
yep.
Driving like a pothead.
So my ninja cockroach trained 6 others, too, just to do this, so we can talk today.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
I posted your topics,
yeah, now
we
got a team that can travel around and work with the, you know, government and do all kinds of things. They're halo jumpers now, too.
Oh. Well,
yeah, they can jump, you know, 30,000 and nobody knows where they're coming from. These cockroaches will land on you. Yep. Watch out, baby.
They're coming. Hey, I posted your points here on the webpage. And, hey, in my own defense, you sent them at 12:08. I was thinking you sent them, like, yesterday, and I was like...
No. I had voluminous information there.
I know.
And I cut this down. And there was a lot of things I wanted to talk about, but yeah. I chose an hour, and then there were things I wrote there. I said, that could be better expressed a different way.
All right. And we can roll over if we want. We left some wiggle room.
Oh, yeah, sure. However you want to do it. I'm not tied to anything, you know.
Nice. Well, okay. We've got to take a really quick break and celebrate a little capitalism, and then we'll come back and get right on it. So we are here with our guest, Bruce Moran, and if you haven't listened to our program before, Bruce is a senior national security advisor who focuses on strategic planning for national security issues.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them? Can't hide your eyes and hate.
There's always a song for it.
Yep.
Always a song lurking in there.
Yeah, speaking of national security, I see where the U.S. has issued a warning for five Mexican states. If you're in the resort areas, don't leave the resorts.
That's in Jamaica. You can't leave the resort.
Well, yeah, even in Mexico, I think there's five states in Mexico. They said,
on here too.
Be very careful.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, we could be like them. I mean, you know, and just don't go outside the wire, as they say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're profiling.
I know.
Exactly. How ridiculous, even though we do it all day. Okay, so I'm sorry. Let's go back to your...
that's a Rain real national concern, national security concern. I'm laughing as I'm crying at the same time here because we're trying to do the best we can, and we're not really doing a good job. Congress is impeding us, you know, and one of it is the border protection, immigration. It's the whole down the line. National security causes and effects that we're looking at that's impacting our, you know, criminal system, our justice system. You know, we got the whole idea behind the statutory requirements and the enforcement on the border. But I mean, we also have to look at the ways that individuals on the borders themselves are being impacted, and they don't like it at all. These are our fellow American citizens, and who I've talked to. Been with on the borders. What the heck is going on with the federal government? You know, we have, you know, 70% of the country not on the border, you know, or, you know, they live in areas and they don't know how the people feel on the borders. That's a travesty.
No, it is. And I think so much of it, I don't know if you would agree with this, but. So much of it is just optics. They don't want to do it because it's not going to look good. They know what they need to do. They know what works. But if they do it, there's going to be hell to pay. We can't, you know, it's going to look bad. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
It doesn't look bad if they're doing the right thing for the right reason for national security.
Right.
Because here's the reason. I got to take this down to the basic fundamental fact of what national security is.
That's for you,
Bill. It's protecting individual rights, freedoms, and liberties, all Americans across the board. We're talking about Americans. And who are you talking about? You're talking about people crossing the border, the immigrants.
Right.
You know, illegal aliens. And
you can't use that term.
That's the issue that's being argued daily. And it's DACA or chain migration, you know, different things of that sort. And to me, that's superfluous to national security.
It should be.
Security has to be first and foremost for every American individual citizen.
So are we talking undocumented Americans? Because I heard that the other day on the news, too, that these poor undocumented Americans are being picked on.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of people that overstay their visas, you know. We have a lot of people that come in to the universities that just stay.
Yeah. Doesn't make them Americans, you know, though.
And I'm saying, if you lived in another foreign country, I traveled a lot. Okay. And if I was over my visa for 5 days, I was fine. If I was over for 7 to 10 days in other countries, I had to, you know, re-register, pay the fines.
So you couldn't just get on welfare and make them pay your rent and stay there for years and then demand that the entire country accommodate you?
A driver's license and Social Security.
Yeah.
So that gets back to my first point when we were talking about economic freedom and respect for the country's rights and obeying the laws, both civil and criminal. People that come here don't do that. And that's part of the way our country is structured. That's our national heritage. That's our function. And that's what you were talking about earlier as, are they assimilating? No, they're getting over, and they want to use the system to the best of their advantage. And if they can become a citizen, yes. If they don't, and they can stay here, they don't have to be a citizen, that's okay.
Yeah, but
that's
the trend,
okay in my books.
But like, the trend is to come here and take advantage of our system, but they want to bring their culture with them.
But then if they get called on it, you know, and there's some discussion about sending people back or whatever, then they demand to be granted citizenship because that's only right. And what are we, monsters?
That is true also.
Where does that
happen?
Can
you tell me what you know about what happened in California last week when they raided those homes where they're bringing the woman in from China that were due to do the, you know, have the baby here?
I didn't see the story, but are these the, you come here when you're pregnant so that you can have a child who is considered American because they're born here?
Anchor babies,
yeah,
anchor babies,
thank you. And then the baby can essentially sponsor everyone into the country.
Three or four hotels that were doing this. They're dedicated to bringing people in, and I think there's a lot of illegal activity that went on there with the documentation in the first place to come in to say why you're coming to the United States, and then how they stayed here, and then not only how they stayed here, who was helping them stay here, and the doctors that administered to them.
But it's big money. I mean, in some of the cases, this is a big,
absolutely
big money program. So we just live
illegal.
Here.
What? Nobody cares about that. I was watching this happen. And I said the agents went in there and I read the article, but to me there was a lot of heavier issues that needed to be addressed. Is why that was allowed to happen. So people had to know this was going on. It's pretty obvious.
Obviously not in our end of the state, but yeah, the headline says it was a maternity hotel where quote, tourists paid up to $80,000 to give birth in the U.S.
Isn't there something called illegal activity going on there?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
what
if it's not,
heck?
It should be. I mean, that's just not right.
So that's why I get back to what I was talking about.
Says they were luxury maternity hotels.
Luxury maternity hotels. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, that's different.
That's different.
Okay.
Tom Odette was nowhere to be found.
Tom Odette. They definitely left the light on for him.
So we have all the people that facilitate it. The caretakers that there to help them in the building.
Motel plus one.
See what I'm saying? There's nurses. There's doctors. There's a whole slew of physicians that do... pediatrics, after they have the baby. So what are we looking at here? If they know this is going on and those people who are physicians are helping them, why don't they get called on the rug? What happens now that all these people know that this illicit activity is going on, and what do they do with these people? They shouldn't be allowed to stay here.
No.
And the people that are assisting that, I mean, they're helping people break the law. It's no different than any other law. They should be prosecuted right along with
the ones.
Well,
there's always been a big discussion every time the immigration thing comes up about that type of citizenship.
But we have like a incubator system going on here.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, that's bad. What does it say about American citizens who need those monies to make a living? And they themselves want to have babies. And they themselves want to have a better house and have their kids go to school. And these people are coming here and doing that?
Well, if they couldn't...
Not respecting our laws?
Well, if we got rid of the chain migration and they couldn't then sponsor all their relatives into the country, I would imagine some of that would go away on its own.
Yeah, but you have to enforce it full breadth.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, agreed.
That's why I'm saying it's... Everything is footloose and fancy free, and you can't do that. And that's what we've been talking about in terms of the overall broad national security interest and how economic freedom is being taken away from Americans. And all these other people are taking advantage of it. They're coming out into the United States. They're using our system. They're not assimilating. They're coming on welfare. I mean, there's statistics on this, and we need to find out more about who these people are, what they're doing, and how they're doing it in order to, address these issues in a very serious manner. Just not talk about them on TV and say they're, how are we going to do this today?
Yeah.
How are we going to do this tomorrow? If you look at the quote I wrote there by Thomas Paine, did you see that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
It says... a long habit of not thinking the thing is wrong gives it appearance that it is right.
Yeah, you know, that is kind of the poster quote for the immigration debate.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about on overall broad national security. People aren't addressing national security issues. A long habit of not thinking a national security thing is wrong gives it appearance that it is right.
And therefore, we slip the noose around our own neck. We have to take a really quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guest, Bruce Moran. Bruce is with Security Solutions Technology. It's a veteran-owned company providing federal government consulting, IT professional services, security assessments, and a whole lot more. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. I know what song you're playing, Bob. Classic.
What a lovely way of saying how much you love me. Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it, your face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes. I'm happy knowing that you're having my baby.
You know, come here anyway and stay and demand to be, you know.
Yeah, greatest place in the world to be from, huh?
There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bruce. We've been screwing around, so we're...
That's all right. Other places, they throw you out on your big butt, you know.
Or they put you in prison, you know.
Oh, that goes without saying. They just open the door and then you go. I mean, people here don't understand... And we had, I was walking down the street yesterday, I was finishing up with a client, and they had the big women's movement going on, and I thought that.
Good grief. Were they all wearing their stupid hats again?
Yeah, but I applaud that in a way, you know, because it's the women's movement, they're getting their feet off the ground. But,
well, I'm a woman, it's ridiculous, and I just say stop it.
Let me.
Hey, why are you here today and not out barking?
You're my train of thought.
Some misogynist, obviously.
But the women out there don't realize that the first woman to actually get the movement going were Bible thumpers.
Ooh, and that's obviously not allowed now.
No. They are the women who were the conservatives. They're the women who were... part of the prohibition. They're the woman who wanted to maintain the moral integrity and fiber of the country. That's my point.
Well, and they actually had, they were actually demonstrating for rights they did not have.
That's
unlike
correct.
Today's movement where they demonstrate for rights they already have. I don't know.
Well,
I don't get the whole point.
Here's the point on that.
Okay.
They're out there and it's being politicized to the extent that a lot of things that were done were already known. And now they want to surface it as a way to maybe try to impact midterm elections.
Right.
And that's what I find to be very disheartening as an American and how we all are supposed to work together, men and women alike, and not separate. And all men I know really respect women, you know, and have a deep understanding of who they are and part of our culture. You know, I had a ma, you know. My ma was a good ma. You know?
Well, and obviously,
here's what I'm saying.
Everyone's created equal except for white men, so well, Bob, Bill, and Bruce,
that's
you're
politically correct, liberal, left, you know, doctrine, but what I'm trying to say is when they come face-to-face with the reality of finding a husband and, you know, settling down, having kids, going to school, you know, owning a car, you know, buying a home, all that. That takes a little bit more than just walking out into a field, a park, and demonstrating. You have to have substance. You have
right.
to have understanding of economic freedom. You have to have understanding of what our founding fathers gave to our country in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You have to understand what the Civil War was about. We have a loss of our civic understanding of our country. We have a loss of our history. And that's not being told to the people that are out there protesting. They're protesting there on emotions. They're protesting on feelings that are askance from a lot of what needs to be done in real life to, you know, to get yourself going in society, in the civil society, in opportunity society. That's what I'm talking about. The structure and what they're dealing with is taken out of context and putting into a frame where they're using it for political purposes.
Yeah, and I think that's really, in the long run, is going to backfire on them. I mean, when you look at folks that do the hiring for a lot of these corporations and even small business.
Even if they're women.
If I
was still hiring people,
if you were HR and you're a woman, yeah, you would be concerned about the future of your company by hiring somebody who could turn the whole thing upside down because they didn't like the way somebody looked at them. And you can just avoid all of that by not hiring. And I hired somebody that is very smart.
I got you two guys going. That's good. Yeah. That's the way I think, too. But we have to think on their behalf of how bad
really
are
like
they
to
end
much.
Up thinking that way and not being educated properly and running around talking like that in their 20s.
But why can't they see the long-term effect of this? I mean,
they don't understand that yet. And we're talking about a problem that's endemic in our society where people are not in touch. They don't talk eye to eye with enough people. They're communicating virtually. Their friends are done on Yahoo and Twitter.
But a lot of these women are way old enough to know better. These are kids.
You're giving them their world is different than ours, though. That's what I'm trying to convey. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have compassion for them, which I do, but
I'm saying better person than
they need to. They need to grow up.
Hey, there you go. Now we're circling the target.
They need to understand what the real world is about.
Actually, my father had a wonderful expression.
A job that you're not going to give a trophy for everything you do.
Yep.
You make mistakes, you have to pay for those mistakes. But if you make mistakes and correct them, then you can go on and do better things.
And
that's what economic freedom is about.
That's right, and
that's
don't be
how
a weak
you
sister.
And make a living through economic freedom, through a civil opportunity society. You're not given opportunities because of who you are. You're not enabled because who you are. You know, there's no enabling going on here. You have to work for everything. And you work for everything to make a buck to do better things for yourself and get yourself into a family.
Hey, Bruce, all this, constant, you know, I mean, I really think it's a big masquerade as an anti-Trump thing. I mean, they claim it's a women's march, but we all knew they threw that together because it was supposed to be celebration for Hillary, who didn't get elected. So, okay, now it's the big anti-Trump thing.
Yeah, it moves from one thing to the other. That you're saying. It transits because they need a
and then they purposes. Yeah, then they pretend it's about
elections.
Women. So how does that all impact or what do I want to say? How does it screw up our national security? Where is that intersection?
Because they're not aware of what they need to do to help protect each other when something's going down. More people will get killed. More people will get harmed. More people will suffer.
Because they're not paying attention.
Because we all are responsible for our national security. We're all responsible for our individual sovereignty, liberties, rights, and freedoms. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
They don't understand what country they're living in and respect that, and respect that the citizens, you and I, and Chuck and Francis, who work on these things, we care about them. But they need to care about us and understand what we're trying to do. I don't care if they want to be in opposition to certain things, but they need to know what they're opposing. History's not being properly recorded. It's being rewritten. And, you know, they don't even understand history. They want to do something now. If you look at what Jeff Sessions has to deal with, we're looking at, he has the, you know, Department of Justice, but how do you handle the whole imbalances that are created with social justice? They're taught those things when they grow up, and they think they're right morally in their head. But there's no moral justification by rule of law and how to follow the principles without being educated in the Constitution, without being educated in the Declaration of Independence, without being understanding the basic principles of economic freedom. And that's an educational process that bypassed them. So I'm saying, grow up, you know. You just can't go out and do anything you want because you live in America and we're free. Freedom was paid at many a cost. Many people died for this. Many people suffered for this. Many people lost their homes back in the Revolution. During the Civil War, 2 million people died. They don't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't get the basic facts of how we are as a country and who we are to respect each other. They don't know how to respect other people in a proper and fitting manner. And there's not manners paid respected anymore either.
No,
you know,
no manners.
No manners.
Well, I think, okay, we probably better take a,
okay.
not take a quick break?
Yeah, sure.
Is that not for me, Bob, or not for me?
Not yet.
I mean,
not
we have
yet.
A lot of things to talk about.
I was just going to say, you have the for those people that are not online with us, the 12 living elements of a civil opportunity society. And
Frances and I took 6 months. She worked 45 years at the State Department. She worked at a Marshall plant. She's 90 years old right now. She's one of my mentors and dear friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
I wanted to have her on the air, but she's working with us on the Assyrian stuff, and she put out a heavy-duty thing to go out to the people at the State Department and over at the U.S. Mission in New York. So
you're tapping into knowledge there that most people don't have access to.
Well, that's huge for me.
I just thought...
I mean, she's been my mentor and good friend, and I'm the senior consultant now because, you know, we got to take over and start, you know, taking leadership responsibilities and, you know, talking like I am today, but she's marvelous. And I'll sit there and just listen to her. And the young kids today won't sit there and listen to anybody.
No, because you can sit and listen to her talk about cause and effect. And you know, when you mentioned social justice, I think our State Department anymore, I mean, I thought their job was not necessarily to interpret the law, but to enforce the laws. And I think with the whole social justice thing, I think they're putting a little too much emphasis on reinterpreting everything for present time. I don't.
It's all viewed through the lens of feelings.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you agree with that, Bruce?
Yes. Well, Claire always talked about that, too. I mean, it's about the changing of the mission of the security and intelligence community, too. It's gone across the board where all these sensitivities have to be taken into consideration.
Right. Yeah,
people don't know what I'm talking about.
and when you do that, it skews your ability to enforce the law.
Well, so, you can't have everything at the same time.
No.
So if you're going to add things that don't belong there, you have to get rid of things that do. And those trade-offs, I'm not sure people are accurately measuring the trade-offs that we're making because I'm looking at
Aaron, that's brilliant.
Oh.
Exactly what you said is brilliant.
It is a trade-off. You can only, you know, I guess it's kind of like memorizing things. Your mind can only hold so much. So if you're hung up on all the little stuff, you've missed the big things. But your specific points, you know, constitutions are written with checks and balances. They'd love to get rid of that. Court systems developed and supervised with honest judges who fairly and equally uphold the law for all citizens. An efficient and transparent civil service system. Okay, well, that's all up for grabs. Even-handed system of sheriff and police enforcement is established. Professional military and security forces neutral and impartial. They've politicized the heck out of that, although I think our law enforcement guys are doing
California
a pretty good job.
The federal agents wanting to come in and your attorney general saying no.
Yeah, right.
There we got the, you know, counterbalance.
Well, I mean, and then one that I deal
that?
With all the time. All-inclusive titled property rights are protected and defended. You realize, like, there's this happens all over, but I just one example springs to mind. Because when people think of property rights, they always think of their house. So it's like, well, nobody's taking my house. You're being silly. But in rural parts of the country, water rights are a property right. That is what gives their property value. And we have agents of the federal and state government who, my favorite one is the water balancing project. So they're going to balance the water. It's like, how are you going to do that? Because these people own it. You don't.
According to them.
So you're going to have,
you have not only water, which President Trump addressed, you know, because he wrote his executive order on it, but it's the air rights, too. because those are starting to be part and parcel to
that's true too.
How these are being addressed. It's a very convoluted process, and I work on that too. And it's just it's demeaning to the average individual to know that their property, and we're talking about ranches,
yeah.
We're talking about farms, where we have our sustenance coming into us, are being overridden by the federal bureaucracy.
Sure, not only how they run it and how they how all that works, but even facets of it like a water right, and they think they can just swoop in and take it. And I'll leave the next item 5, Free and Independent Press. Let's pick that up on the backside of the break,
great.
Because that's not a short one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Free and Independent Press.
Well, God bless America.
That was like 8 million years ago. Yes, God bless America. All right, we'll be back with our guest, Bruce Moran. You're listening to We the People. If you'd like to have this list in your hot little hand, you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
The doctor's bill, a lawyer's bill, another cute cheap thrill. You know you love him if you put him in your will, but who will save your soul when it comes to the flowers now? Oh, I'll save your souls at those lies that you told, boy.
Oh, darling, don't you ever grow up, don't you ever grow up, just stay this little. Don't you ever grow up, don't you ever grow up, it could stay this simple. I won't let nobody hurt you.
So we can be snarky like we were when we were kids.
Won't let no one
I like
break
that.
Your heart.
And follow rules that we all understood because they made sense. That are unpopular now.
And they have consequence.
Oh, ooh, oh, that's a dirty
that's
word now.
That's a dirty word.
Bill said the C word. So, Free and Independent Press.
Well, commercial he had was great because it talked about the press and it talked about religion.
Yeah.
And he said, if you're tired of all the liberal left stuff, come to my church.
That was Terry Oxley's spot.
Yeah, that guy's commercials are always well timed on our show.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to belabor the point, but.
Go ahead.
The liberal left doesn't talk about the church.
Well, they do.
They talk about,
but it's all negative.
Anything that has to do with taking down churches or religion, that's front and center. But there's nothing positive that they will start saying that they're doing in the communities. When I was flying overseas during Katrina, I was on a plane with the lieutenant governor, I think it was lieutenant governor from Louisiana, and or a representative, and they were telling me about who was the first responders that came to help the people on the ground during Katrina. Do you know who that was?
Well, I'm just going to take a stab at it, considering the conversation. I'm going to say the local churches.
Yeah, exactly. It was the Catholic ones, too. They were out there, you know,
and we have a winner.
Right. Yeah, Louisiana, you know, I grew up Catholic, so I'm not pushing it, but
yeah, we suck at
I'm
pushing
proud
it.
Of them. You know, we're out there in the forefront. You
As
know,
a fellow mackerel snapper, I know how bad we are at recruitment.
Well, the nuns and the priests really got me straight, so I have a deep respect for them. So,
yes, me too. Every now and then I do something that I think, oh, they would have been proud of that, and then there are the other times where I am happy that they're long gone, because they would have been mad.
So what we're talking about with the Free and Independent Press reigns, let's turn it over to you, and then I'll comment on it.
Well, okay. So actually, oddly enough, I think that discussion about church and morality and the Free Independent Press is really connected. Because, I mean, for many, many years, lying was considered inappropriate. You know, it was called lying. And we got punished for it as kids, and you weren't allowed to do it at work, and you weren't supposed to, you know, bring that into your marriage.
And you immediately lost all your credibility
right.
If you got caught lying. I mean, people didn't believe you.
But we have guys like Brian Williams, poster boy for this particular topic, who is back now on the air as a, quote, news broadcaster who's caught lying for years making stuff up? And we won't even go into all the rest of it, but yeah, it's not immoral anymore to be a liar. If you can hoodwink people into believing things, then you're good to go.
It happens in our politics every day.
I watch all the news stations, you know. I watch Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews and Anderson Cooper, and I like to see what people are saying.
Yeah, I do too.
And where I get the balance is I go to the BBC, or I go to, then I get the foundation when I go to the Wall Street Journal, you know, and Financial Times, because I get to see where there's a large range of opinions, but where do we stay grounded? Where do we find our economic freedom? Where do we find our civil opportunity society for all of us to flourish together? If people understand those basic foundation principles, and I like to go back to the Heritage Foundation and Wall Street Journal, then we don't know how we got to where we are, and we can't appreciate that. We don't have a true appreciation and cherish our country. We just take advantage of it because we're given all these things, and these things really mean nothing in a moral and, you know, ethical environment.
Well, we're told all the time that you know, there are no facts, right? Everything is subjective. So since we've only gotten to item number five, you do have to stick around. So I don't know what you had planned, but, you know, push it off a little bit.
All right.
We're here with our guest, Bruce Moran. He's from Security Solutions Technology. It's a veteran-owned company. Yeah, you know, this is the fun kind of hostage deal. It's just a phone thing. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 of We the People on KCNR, Shasta.